scalding, sighing with relief as the caffeine works its magic on my foggy head and the last remnants of the dream disappear. There. My mind and body once again belong to me, and I have work to do. It turns out that being as good as unemployed when you're basically living paycheck to paycheck is an excellent way of finding out just how low you'll sink in order to eat. I used to be very proud of my reporting career. I fought my way through college working 3 part-time jobs, seeing how my parents weren't exactly inclined nor capable of helping me. And when I got the job as junior reporter for one of the biggest newspapers in town, I was sure all the demeaning jobs of my college days were past me. As I type away at my $0.0005 per word web article on grout cleaning, I do my very best to push back the festering resentment toward my senior editor, Roy, who so unceremoniously suspended me, without pay, mind you, 2 weeks ago. It's not like I chose to present in the middle of that stupid press conference. Heat floods my cheeks at the humiliating memory. Okay, so maybe Roy didn't have much of a choice, seeing how every politician in the city threatened to boycott the paper for all eternity if he didn't get rid of me. Not that they knew the girl who presented in their midst and caused them to launch into an all-out brawl by name, but the staffer who'd rescued me had apparently told them which newspaper my press badge said I was from. A sudden loud knock on my door interrupts my thoughts, making me jump and flail so violently I nearly tip my refilled mug. Maybe it's Roy coming to give me my job back. Even as my stomach clenches with hope at the thought, I know it's not. Even if the incident wasn't still being referred to each time the Liberals' Peter Liott appeared on the screen, I doubt very much that anyone wants to see my face again until after the election. A delivery guy stands in the hallway outside my 4th-floor apartment, holding a large white box in expensive-looking cardboard out toward me. On top balances a thick envelope and a smaller box.
"Ms. Adams?"
he says, looking my disheveled figure up and down. I wrap my cardigan closer around my sweatpants and food-stained T-shirt. "Yeah, that's me."
"Delivery for you."
Without missing a beat, he shifts the small tower of parcels to one hand, balancing them nimbly while he pulls out a machine for me to sign my name. I do, clasping onto the packages with both hands as soon as I'm done. It isn't often I get anything but bills in the door. "Who's it from?"
"I ain't in the detective business, ma'am,"
the delivery guy says, turning back around now that his job here is done.
"But it's a special delivery. Make of that what you will."
I stare after him for 2 more seconds before curiosity finally wins out and I slam the door shut to inspect the packages. That it is a special delivery tells me about as much as the ivory cardboard and heavy paper envelope does, that whoever sent it has enough money to throw away on postage and packaging. I glance at the envelope, but excitement I vaguely remember from Christmas when I was little makes me reach for the small package first. It's made from the same ivory cardboard as the larger package. I brush my fingertips around the edge, lift the lid, and frown. Inside is a beautiful golden mask with black feathers and shimmery stones adorning the sides and rim of the eye holes. What the? I'd half expected it to be some form of fancy pastries or cupcakes, judging by the white packaging. With less grace, I hurriedly rip the lid off the larger box and find a pile of silky black fabric. A dress. A very pretty dress with a full silk skirt. Far above anything I'd ever be able to afford myself, even if I weren't currently trying to make a living off questionable content writing. Hoping for an explanation, I tear open the letter, but if anything, it just leaves me with more questions. "Dear Ms. Adams, you are hereby invited to the annual charity masquerade at Town Hall, October the 19th at 7 p.m. The short note is handwritten on thick white paper to match the envelope, but there is no signature or any other distinguishing features to help me determine the sender's identity. Included in the envelope is a golden ticket with my name and the date written on it in intricate print, presumably what will allow me entry to the famed masquerade. Every year, the political elite and socialites of Mattenburg dress up in fanciful costumes to congratulate each other on their wealth and power, while compensating for the glitzy affair by claiming it's all for charity.